Welcome to the Lost Op podcast and the fifth edition of the Transpyrenees race, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. It's day five at this year's TPR, and we have a serious race on our hands at the front, with the top 10 riders all now on the 679-kilometre raid parcours. This morning, the sun rose on the Pyrenees to find Tim De Vitter, cap 111, having extended his lead slightly over Maxime Agut, cap 80, with Thomas Bury, cap 109, not too far behind him. But the 30 cols of the raid parcours are enough to challenge any rider, and there is still a long way to go. Control Team 1 are out on the raid again too. They've been tracking those top 10 riders and capturing the incredible images that you can find on Lost.'s social media channels. David Eyre, race director.
We are currently standing overlooking Ariège from the top of a mountain above Les Cabanes. We started our morning with a trip down to La Midore, a fine bakery just outside Tarascon sur Ariège. The Chausson aux Pommes did the trick alongside a double espresso, and we made our way up into the morning sun. Could see it creeping over the mountainside on the far side of the mountains from the way we approached it. We have just seen our first rider through up here at the top, which was Lucas Stripmetter. So we could hear Lucas before we could see him. It sounds like his front brake is squeaking quite a lot. So he squeaked his way up and around the tight hairpins towards the peak of this mountain on this extended gravel stretch up from the valley below. We're now going to be waiting for Thomas Rongen, who is following about 10 minutes behind Lucas as well. Next, we're going to be moving on towards Port de l'Air to pick up Thomas Bury, Max Agut, and then ahead to Tim De Vitter, who has opened up a little bit more of a lead overnight.
When you're pushing for a podium position, it's very tempting to try and push that little bit more. The team catch up with Thomas Rongen, cap 119, who plans to resist that temptation.
For me now, it is continue to hold spot 5 and then just do my own plan and then wait till somebody is falling apart. That doesn't motivate me. I just mostly stick to my own plan, and then only like the last few K, like 100K, 200Ks, I might change my strategy, but no, it's still too far to do stupid stuff. I'm looking forward to the Tourmalet. I don't know how far it is. It is such an iconic climb. Actually, it's not so beautiful if you compare it to the other climbs you did. Mm. It's with all the famous climbs, because it's only famous because the Tour de France is capable of going on it. But because it is so iconic, it is funny to ride and now doing an ultra. Yeah, but like, actually, I'm more excited about unknown climbs, and you're spoiling me because there are so many unknown climbs. I never go back to the Alps again. I will go to the Pyrenees.
While the leaders battle it out on the raid parcours, race reporter Hannah Larbalestier is with Control Team 2 in Albania, the location for Control Point 5. Yesterday, they were at CP4, waiting to welcome riders who are aiming to beat the 4 p.m. cutoff time for general classification, or GC. Today, it's the same deal, the same cutoff time, just a different setting.
We've just arrived at CP5 in Albania. So to get here, riders have already reached the Mediterranean Sea. They've taken on Parkour 5, and they've headed inland up this dead-end road to this little village called Albania. Our CP is hosted by a little bar with this beautiful square shaded by some trees, and next to me there's a woman sweeping up some autumnal leaves from the ground. We've got the church right next to us, which has this incredibly loud bell, which seems to have been ringing quite a lot this morning. And we've got our CP volunteers here also making a lot of noise. One of them's got a little cowbell, and not a vuvuzela, but something smaller and similar to that. And they're welcoming our riders with a lot of energy when they all roll in.
Timo Kellner and Marcus Baden, caps 137 A and B, are still the leading riders in this year's pairs category.
And how does it feel to have reached the Mediterranean?
Was quite nice. Really enjoying the scenery here. But yeah, mountains are calling, right? Yeah. So we have to go back.
Just a quick stop by the sea and then off you go.
Yeah exactly. Then hit the mountains again.
But my favorite snack they have is they have ice cream in a foot shape. Yeah, I have a look in the freezer. It's like, I know in Germany we have Flutschfinger, which is ice cream in like a hand and finger shape, which is already really weird. I don't even know how to translate that, Flutschfinger. Yeah. There it says, Frigo Pied. It's killing me.
Did you have one?
No, it's too cold. Otherwise, I would have tried. Maybe later today, if I find a Frigo Pied, I'd definitely go for it.
Maybe I'll have one if it warms up here later, and I'll let you know how it is.
Joanna Rominska-Petzic, cap 63, arrives in Albania at 10:30 a.m. She's taking on the calories in preparation for the raid parkour.
And you've had a little breakfast here at the control point. What did you have to eat?
Everything that was on offer. As you can see, there are two sandwiches for takeaway sandwiches, and I had another one. So, yeah, it's very good and quick, because sometimes you have to wait in a restaurant just too long, so a waste of time.
Well, you're well-fueled, ready to start the raid.
I would like to say I'm looking forward to that. I think recovery will be key to, you know, to successfully completing the parkour, because it's so demanding in terms of the, you know, your energy resources and everything, that you need to look after yourself. You need to manage your body, look after your body, and the body will look after your result, I think.
Joost Klarenbeek, cap 66, is also at CP5. He lives nearby, which means he's had plenty of opportunity to scout out the best way to cycle between the race's parkour and control points.
And you're very familiar with this area. I'm guessing you've come and recce'd the route through from Albania back to the start of the parkour.
No, that was actually the only part I didn't do, so it was a bit shit.
Even though it's so local to you.
It was a terrible route, yeah, then I underestimated it. I was like, well, whatever. It was terrible. But I've been in this cafe actually before, so that's nice.
So which way are you going to go from here?
Back.
On the road?
Back on the road, yeah, yeah. Are there people going on gravel from here?
Yeah, people are going in every direction from here.
Really? Okay. Well.
If you look at the heat map, it's chaotic.
Yesterday, Leila Sabuti, cap 72, said she had two wishes. The first came true. She made it to control point 4. And today, as she rolls into Albania and control point 5 well within the cutoff time, wish number 2 also arrives.
Your wish came true.
Yeah, it came true. It got granted.
How are you feeling?
I don't know.
Tired?
Yeah, tired.
Did you stop last night?
Not really. I stopped like twice for small naps. I really didn't want to like feel the pressure like yesterday. So I'm happy to arrive and be like, I still have time, like it's okay.
What's your plan now? Are you going to have a nap before you set off again?
Yeah. The plan is to reset. So sleep a lot, eat a lot, and get in the mindset to ride the raid parkour back to San Sebastian.
Woohoo! You ready for some nice, long, steady road climbs?
Yeah, I think it's going to be nice. And the resupply is going to be complicated, so I have to buy lots of food. I have to buy tools, because you see there's something missing here.
Oh, you've lost... So you had a little tool bottle mounted on your down tube, and it's fallen off somewhere.
In the hiker bike before parkour 3.
Oh, so you've gone all that way without tools, and you've just been fortunate not to need
them. I was
them.
Just praying, like, if I have a puncture, I'm going to have to MacGyver my way out of this. I still have tubes and a pump, but that's it.
Do you have tire levers?
No.
Good fun trying to get tubeless tires off your rims.
Yeah. So I have to buy tools, and I also have to check the derailleur because it's making weird noises, and maybe put some lube. And the bike is going to be ready to ride.
Great.
Early afternoon, and up ahead on the Ray Parkour, things are starting to shift. When Control Team 1 spoke to Tim DeVita last night, he'd been struggling both with his bike and finding the necessary resupplies. And now he's been caught and overtaken by Maxime Agut, Cap 80, who's been right up there in contention from the start of the race. Back at CP5, and with the 4 p.m. GC cutoff looming, David Kielhofer, Cap 31, rolls into Albania. He's already thinking about his route to the Ray Parkour.
And which route do you plan to take to get to the start of the Ray Parkour?
I think I'm going to take the bait. I see a lot of. I think I'm just going to walk over the hill here on the gravel. I assume I'm going to walk. Maybe it's rideable, maybe not.
Have you got multiple different options planned? And have you been like looking at the track or seeing what other people are doing? Or are you just going to commit to doing one of them?
Well, all these people are psychotic, so it doesn't like they could be doing something really hard, and I wouldn't know, you know. So I've not planned more than one route. I mean, maybe if it gets really bad, I'll say, all right, maybe do something else. But
yeah. I love how you say all these people are psychotic, yeah. As if you're not one of them.
Another rider to make the GC cutoff at CP5 is Jean-Christophe Hoesch.
So we saw that Jean-Christophe Hoesch had taken a bit of a weird northerly route out of Albania. And we've seen that he's dots turn around and he's come back south again. Tell me about what happened, Jean-Christophe.
Well, that's bad planning, I guess. I really thought that was a proper trail that you can go. But it's fine for a while, but it's so now that it's like a private way, and you ended up in a finca up there, and there is like nothing, just an overgrown trail, you know. Fuck.
Oh man.
I need a drink.
Are you gonna come back to the cafe now then?
Yeah, and I'm gonna push that road.
And go right back on the road. All right, we'll see you at the cafe.
Henning Sudo, Cap 54. Also makes it to CP5 in time.
Tell me about Parkour 5.
Parkour 5 was by my breakfast. No, I had breakfast in the hotel. They opened at 6. I was like, oh, I have to wait 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes for 2 double espressos and some croissant and pain au chocolat. And then I had a climb of like 1 hour to get to the Parkour 5. And it was the sunrise when I started the parkour, and I already told you, I was in tears. It was too beautiful, just the sun coming out, knowing that I cycled from one side, from the sea to the sea, and see the sun going up over the sea and kind of mountains.
After admitting to shedding a tear or two at the sight of some petty falou yesterday, today, Tom Cooling, Cat 116, has found himself upset about a more conventional ultra complaint.
Luckily, there were no staff around when I arrived at breakfast, and so I just like destroyed the buffet. But yeah, it was good.
Did it bring you to tears?
Not today. No, I did have a cry on the climb up out of there. But yeah, I just seemed to be flitting between like mega high and mega low emotions.
What brought on the cry this morning?
Just my left knee. I was just like, what are you doing? Stop pedaling. I couldn't. Anyway, we're here. Going to take a good rest tonight, I think, and then have a crack at the raid tomorrow. Yeah.
That seems to be a lot of people's approach this afternoon. They're like, we've got the raid coming up, just need to get some good rest, and then be prepared
tough.
Tomorrow.
Like, it's so tough coming east. Yeah, properly taking the stuffing out of me. Very humbling.
Simon Everett is one of our race volunteers at CP5. he managed to ride parts of the Ray Parkour himself on his way to Albania. And with this his fourth time volunteering, Simon is no stranger to the excitement and nerves of a good CP time cutoff chase.
You've done more TPRs than I have. And this year you've ridden most of the Raid Parkour to get to CP5 in Albania. How's it been?
It's been great, yeah. I've had my cycling ability questioned by lots of big hills. I'm not small, so getting up the Tourmalet was a bit of a mission, to say the least, but it's amazing. Riding a bike through there, it's phenomenal. The bit around the bit at the top of the Obisque, coming off there and going on the other side, you're just kind of looking at it and going whooping and hollering, just looking how good it is. I've walked it doing the GR route around there, but riding it is just something else.
Does it give you a newfound appreciation for what the riders are doing?
Hell yes. Yeah, to them to do that kind of non-stop, just going over the col, having 2 hours sleep. I was stopping in hotels every night and I was absolutely shattered. So for them to do that, you're like, yeah, full appreciation of how hard that is.
Adrien de Glies and Gilles Hauser, caps 131 A and B, arrive at CP5 and remain inside general classification. It means there are just two pairs left now, riding within GC.
Have you guys stopped talking to each other? You're not friends anymore.
No, I think we are better friends than before. No. Yeah. No, it was good, but I mean, it's been now, let me check, 4 days and 8 hours that we are 24 hours together.
Have you ever spent such an intense period of time together?
I don't think so, right? We lived for a while in the same apartment, but I think it was not so intense.
How do you two know each other? Where did you first meet?
From other friends.
Yeah.
In the area where we live. I think the meeting point that was to go. So every week, on the week, to sleep outside before to go to work. So one time per week.
Once every week, you camp outside.
Actually, now, but before, yeah, the last few years, that was the activity, yeah, one time per week, so we just go outside for a tour with the bicycle or just to walk, and after to sleep outside, and at the morning just go to the work.
What a great way to include a bit of adventure in your day-to-day life. Yeah.
Though Tobias Hogard arrived safely into CP5, he's long been riding outside of general classification, having failed to visit that very first passive control on day one. Nevertheless, TPR is providing quite the experience.
So it's in total for me, it's 5 weeks. 5 weeks off. It's an amazing adventure.
And do you have work to go back to or any deadlines to get home for?
Actually, I'm an IT consultant working as a freelancer. So back in November, I said to the one who hired me in that this summer I would not extend my contract. So I don't have any contract now and haven't done anything for it. So this is actually a super opportunity for me to have a break in my life. The easier thing would for me go back and get a contract as a consultant. So I might do that, but right now I actually don't know, and I really love the fact that I don't know.
Yeah, what a privilege to be able to walk away from work and have some time to just relax and ride your bike.
Yeah, totally, and I thought, well, now I have 5 weeks to consider whether it's a path I want to follow, but I haven't thought about it for 1 second. I've just been enjoying riding my bike and enjoying nature and eating boxes of cooked bananas.
Cooked bananas?
No, just a lot of bananas.
I was going to ask whether this 5 weeks off has helped you come to a conclusion about what you want to do, but I guess not thinking about it at all maybe hasn't helped.
I don't think that was actually... I haven't been searching for that. That is not the answer I've been searching for. It's not that I have a specific answer to search for, but for sure that was not what I was searching for here. It was more just having a super nice time. I know the easy thing would be just to be get a new contract. And I mean, I had a lot of crazy thoughts around what to do, but right now I just want to ride my bike and enjoy.
That's a great quote. Right now I just want to ride my bike.
As 4 p.m. approaches, there are just two more riders on the road with any chance of getting to CP5 in time. Lewis Moorhead, Cap 73, makes it. Just.
That's just in time.
You're cutting it pretty close. Hey, no way. I hear you overshot the CP.
Yeah, I think I had the one from the first manual in there. Didn't really think. But yeah, it seems like it's a nice astronomy place up the road. You like stars. That's the place to go.
Probably not at 4 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon, though.
No, maybe not. If I come back, I'll have a funny story if I get the tour.
How's your ride been going?
It's been up and down. I've been really tempted after seeing the Mediterranean and everyone sitting outside having beer. That looks really fun. So I'm going to try and convince myself to not go in that direction again. But yeah, apart from that, it's good. Lots of nice things to see. And yeah, now it's the easy part.
There'll be a beer waiting for you in San Sebastian at the finish if you make it to the Atlantic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of over halfway now, so pretty much done, you know. Yeah, you just have to head just in one direction and we're there.
And you can switch your brain off for this part as well, because you just have to follow the route that we've set for you.
There's no time limit. Well, there's a time limit, but obviously nothing too strict. And I can just go for it.
Here with Simon Everett. 4 o'clock has just passed at CP5, which is our official time cut here, but because our riders set off in several different starting waves in San Sebastian, the last rider on the road who has a potential chance of still getting here, Steve Hayes, he still looks like he could still make it. What do you think, Simon?
It's close. Having ridden that road, he's got a nice straight kind of smash to get here. He's got 19 minutes, so it's a possibility. And I really, really hope he makes it, because he's moving quickly. Looks good.
Yeah, he has until 25 past. I'm putting my money on him arriving at 4:18. Let's see if he makes it.
He's coming.
I see Steve Hayes riding down the road. My guess was pretty good.
Hey,
he's here at 4:18.
Apparently, you've still got 7 minutes just down here. Keep going. Oh, really? 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Did you not realise it was that close?
No, I had no idea. You could have. I didn't even realise it was a cut-off for this. I thought it was one yesterday. Oh, fine. Yeah, no, I didn't even read the message. I knew there was one yesterday and one at the finish. I didn't know there was one today.
Well, good timing then.
I have been busting my ass all day though.
Yeah.
Good job you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got a funny story for you. Do you want a funny story?
I'd love a funny story.
Right, picture the scene. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm at the entrance to the Viella tunnel. I don't know there's a refuge, just 200 metres away. It's blowing a hoolie. It's 1 in the morning, like I said. It's very, very cold. It's blowing a hoolie. I'm trying to find somewhere to bivvy. I find this little brick building in the car park. Little German camper vans everywhere, obviously. And I try and bed down. So I blow up my air bed. I'm freezing cold. Blow up my air bed, put my sleeping bag on it, take all my kit off, get naked, because I'm trying to dry out the sores on my arse. And then my air mattress blows away. Right? So it's blowing down the valley, over the field, down the rocks, down to the river. And without giving it a second thought, I leg it after the air bed. Stark naked, 1 in the morning, probably -5, sprinting through to get my air mattress, to then walk back thinking, I'm fucking up, there's nobody watching. I got very cold, and then I lied down and went to sleep. Didn't get any sleep because it was blowing so much. It got very, very windy, but I thought you'd quite like that tale.
I did enjoy that tale.
Made a lot of German caravanners very happy though.
Yeah, hopefully they slept through the whole scenario. There wasn't a lot of good stuff to be seen.
Before he disappears, Steve returns to the mic to deliver one final and very important message.
I'm going to head off to Parkour 6 now. I just want to sort of send a big happy birthday message out to my wife, Karina. It's her birthday tomorrow, so just in case I forget to call her tomorrow, big happy birthday. Love you lots. Speak to you soon.
One rider who didn't make it before the time cutoff is Kai Sikorski, Cap 113. It doesn't help that he's been riding without a phone for quite some time. However, there's good news for him on that front.
So you lost your phone earlier in the race,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I lost my phone.
I think someone's handed it to David and we'll have it at the finish line.
How did you find it?
I think someone found it on the parkour.
Thanks God, thank you.
How have you been managing without
it? A bit difficult. A phone is quite useful, to be honest. And without one is... Yeah. I was just relating on my GPS that I've uploaded before. I didn't have any information about the checkpoint. And then I realized when it came down to checkpoint 4 that it was not there.
Yeah.
And then I asked the guy and obviously it was closed. So then I was a bit disappointed, but never mind. I'm still doing the loop and still doing the course. So, yeah.
Before Hannah and Control Team 1 head off to the Ray Parkour for the night, they speak to a pretty philosophical Tom Probert, Cat 117, who's thinking about the psychology of taking part in a race like TPR.
How are you?
Okay. I'm just mentally recalibrating what the race is now to me, because I haven't hit the time cut off for CP5, but I just couldn't do it really. I mean, I could have theoretically tried to like push through, but I'd only got like an hour and a half sleep trying to get to like CP4 cut off, and then it's like you're kind of on the back foot, and I just needed some sleep really. And then my neck's kind of starting to go a little bit, kind of get a bit of Sherma's neck coming in, so I definitely needed to sleep to try to kind of like manage that. I had to kind of do a bit of a reset of what I'm thinking about the race. It's just a weird thing where like the focus and the pressure of trying to hit these time cuts goes, it kind of makes everything a lot more difficult to, I don't know, kind of orientate yourself and keep the motivation.
It's a funny thing how just missing that one time cut by an hour or so can suddenly change your motivation to be able to do 250k a day, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, because it's, if you actually look at this stuff objectively and you take it out of the, or you put it into the context of like your normal life, you'd probably never be able to do it, because it's just like crazy distances, and it's just a lot to ask of you. So it's the weird thing that the race does, is to kind of put it into this like framework that allows you to be able to do it. And when you find yourself outside of that framework for whatever reason, then it becomes really tricky to do it. But I'm kind of at the moment the plan is to just keep pushing on as I was before, but with the much stricter need for making sure I get enough sleep, basically. Just, you know, I won't be doing any all-nighters or like, you know, quick naps.
So we've been at CP5 for most of the day. From CP5 to get to the start of the Raid Parkour, there's a whole variety of route options. So some riders are playing it safe, sticking to the road and taking the roughly 65 to 70k trip to get to Al-Sirtek. But some riders are deciding to head west from here, going straight along some gravel roads and shortcutting towards Coustouges in France, and heading down the Tech Valley from there. But even then, there's been three or four different varieties of routes through the gravel sections, and it's been a real gamble for people as to whether it pays off. We've seen most riders heading directly north if they're taking the gravel, but actually it looks like there's maybe some quicker options further west. And we've also had some riders taking routes that have ended up in dead ends and they've had to come back to the CP. or they've just taken some unnecessary climbs along the way to get where they're going. So really fun looking at the heat map and the different route options that people are taking. It really looks like a capillary network when you look at it on the map.
At the front of the race, it seems like Maxime Agut's overtake on the Ray Parcours was no temporary change in position. It's evening now, and over the last few hours, he's built up a steady lead over Thomas Bury, Cap 109. Our previous race leader, Tim De Vitter, has stopped for some rest in the French town of Bagnères de Lujon. Also here is Katie Roberts, Cap 128B, and Karin Zwart, Cap 70. Katie started the race as a pair, but her partner Amy James scratched. Both Katie and Karim are riding outside of general classification and still need to head east to the Mediterranean coast if they want to get a race finish. However, having just seen both Maxime and Tim pass through, they've managed to get a first-hand glimpse of the leading riders.
Maxime just was he looks like a roadie that just was on a
like
day
on
out.
A Sunday ride,
what?
Basically.
And then Tim looked
way worse, to be fair. He was not in a good way, yeah. I think. But yeah, with the amount of sleep I think he has been having, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maxime made you think you'd overpacked.
Sorry?
Maxime just looked like he was on a day ride. Yeah. It was like, oh, that can't be him. He looks like a roadie.
It's like a top two bag, hustle him out, little
quite
jersey,
clean.
And just bombing
it. He looked quite clean as well. I was just like, nah, that can't be him. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then...
you see Tim and like the grease from all
the repairs
on his hands.
Yeah, he's just, his
hands
are all like
all the kit,
cut
everything,
and stuff as well. So yeah, he looked more like he's been on adventure for sure. Yeah. We've been feeling pretty low about our situation.
Yeah, about us pulling and scratching, basically. And seeing them also struggle gives a bit of comfort about what, like, the talent that is needed for this type of race.
Definitely.
I mean, it's hard for everybody, I think. Yeah. I think it's hard for a lot of people.
I mean, I knew when I was getting into it that it was going to be hard, but I just didn't know it was going to be... Yeah. There's the gravel sections, I was like, oh, that took me 5 hours or 7 hours. Like, what? Just like, oh, wow. This is something else.
It's like, okay, we're hike-a-biking it, so that will be a thing.
But anyway.
It's super mental. Cool. It's a bit crazy to think that we are here now, and they've been to the Mediterranean and back, basically.
I can't think about it. It makes me feel
Before the day draws to a close, race reporter Stuart Downey manages to find and speak to Tim De Vitter to find out how he's feeling, having lost the lead.
Now we'll continue the suffer fest, and hopefully tomorrow I can finish the parkour then, and then I will probably arrive on, what day are we today? Tuesday? On Thursday then. So that's the plan. And yeah, I'm not concerned about positioning or anything anymore. It's I've had it, so.
I remember the first, when we saw you at CP4 and the volunteer said, do you want to know where you are? And you said, no. I wondered if that was a tactic that you had, you know, like not thinking about it too much.
No, I never, in all races, I don't really want to know it. And in fact, now as well, I mean, you just do your best the way you think is your best. And honestly, if you know somebody is pushing behind you or not, like, it's just making it worse. Sometimes in races, the only time when I look at it is like the last few days, because then you really want to like position maybe, because sometimes it can be close, so then it's better to hurry up a bit. But in most races, like especially the first few days, it's in my opinion completely pointless to be worried about it. So,
As Control Team 2 make their way to their own dinner stop and hotel near the Ray Parcours, they bump into Alvin Escajeda, Cap number 3. He's having a great time, but he's also well aware that San Sebastian is still a long way away.
A lot of riding to go still. That's, I need to remind myself that there's a lot of stuff ahead of us. So 700K seems not like a lot, but it's a lot.
You look pretty fresh though. And are you enjoying it?
Yeah, this is probably the coolest race I've ever done. Yeah, and I've done quite a few. This has been like my perfect mix of riding, road, off-road, underbiking, doing dumb shit. I did the Benasque hike at midnight in the clear sky. It was magical and terrifying at the same time. I'm having a great time. I just need to need to take care of myself so I don't hate it.
Yeah.
That's where my mind is at. Yeah, I wanted to slip, trying to get into the top 10, but I think it's getting away from me and I don't want to come unstuck again, so...
Join us in our next episode to see if Maxime Agut can maintain and even increase the gap he's now building from Thomas Bury in second position. Hopefully, we'll also get to hear from Hélène Fromenty, Cat 52. She's now the fastest woman on the race and has put in a fantastic performance over the last couple of days to build a lead. And as for the rest of the field, it's time for the Raypod Call. You can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dog website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.